Right, repeat after me. Say, the word of God is alive. It prevails in my life today. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding. And I receive it today. Amen. What a wonderful day to be alive today. You know, it's a day that that clearly distinguishes our walk, our Christianity with any other religion. You know, it's when the lamb rose from the dead. You know, he died as a lamb, but he rose up as a king. Amen. He rose up as a triumphant king. I remember, I have to share this. Yesterday, I was brying for my family, and we had some lamb chops on the braai. And my son walks up to me, and he says, Daddy, what meat is that? And I said, it's lamb. And he says, oh, do you mean we're eating God right now? And I said, why are you saying that? Well, but Jesus is a lamb, isn't it? Very interesting, right? But we're celebrating the resurrected king today. Amen. He died in weakness, but rose up in power and in glory. And we are partakers of this. It is true that great men walked on this earth. We can speak of Mahatma Gandhi. We can speak of Martin Luther King. We can speak of our own Nelson Mandela. We can speak of all these great people. They all walked this earth. But there's one distinction between all of them and the Lord Jesus. And that one distinction is that the greatness of Jesus did not just stop here on earth. It went and he overcame the grave. Everybody else who died are still dead right now, but our Lord Jesus is alive. Glory be to God. He is alive and we can celebrate today. The reason why he is alive, it is so that you and I can have our way to the Father. I always say to the people, how would you trust somebody who is dead to lead you to a living God? Just think about that for a moment. How do you trust somebody who could not raise themselves from the dead to lead you to who you think is a living God? The Lord Jesus is alive, and because of that, he can lead us to the living God. Glory be to God. Now, the victory that we celebrate today began on the cross, as we unpacked on Friday. Jesus had to face the cross. And through the finished works of Calvary, we were made into more than conquerors. Through the finished works of Calvary, we have victory over sin. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Why? It is because Jesus is alive today. And I want you to realize, the Bible says in Ephesians, we are seated together with Christ in the heavenly places. Far above principalities and powers. That is where we are seated. The Bible says we have received all spiritual blessings. That is our position. And allow me to say, positionally, we are more than conquerors. Positionally, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do everything through Christ who enables us. The Bible says the works of your hands are blessed. That is our place. That is our position. The Bible says joy is our portion. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. It is a great story to tell. But sometimes when I look at my life, there's a different story. Positionally, we are more than conquerors. But in reality, there seems to be a different story that is playing out. Positionally, I'm full of boldness. Positionally, inside of me, there's no timidity. But outside, when I look at what is happening around me, there's so much fear that I experience every single day. When I look around, I see believers who are walking in defeat. Do we say then Christ's death and resurrection was in vain? And this morning, that is the topic of my teaching. The answer lies in the title of my message, and I've entitled my message, Walking with the Cross. Glory be to God. Walking with the Cross. On Friday, we unpacked the same topic, face to face with the cross, pertaining to the Lord Jesus, who had to face his cross in order to enter the glory of his Father. And for you this morning to enter the glory of your Father and to rightly appropriate the finished works of Calvary, you need to walk with your cross. Hello, somebody. You and I need to walk with the cross. You see, we read in Matthew 16 on Friday, where Jesus was talking about his death that was about to happen, that was imminent, and he told his disciples that the Son of Man is going to go to Jerusalem. He is going to face trouble. He's going to be persecuted. They will murder the Son of Man, but on the third day, the Son of Man will rise from the dead. And at some point, Jesus switched the conversation. Where he was talking about the cross he was going to face, he then said, I also want to talk to you about the cross that you have to face. Let's go to Matthew 16, 24. We are continuing in the same chapter. But now Jesus has turned the tables around and he says, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's think about that for a moment. Jesus is not about to force anyone. He says, if you desire to be my disciple, the only qualification and the only condition is for you to take up the cross as the Son of Man was about to take his own cross. Have you ever wondered what it means to take up your cross and follow Jesus? What is your conception? What is your understanding of taking up your own cross and follow Jesus? Many people have misconstrued the whole concept of carrying your own cross to mean, well, my cross is to carry a burden in their lives. There is a burden that they must carry, and that is their cross. Some people think my cross is a strained relationship. My cross is a thankless job. My cross is a difficult marriage. Have you ever heard people saying to you, this is my cross? And they say it very religiously. It almost feels spiritual. And say, you know what, my brother? This is my cross. I just have to carry my cross. They go to their job saying, this is my cross. I just have to carry my cross. I don't know whether that is what Jesus was referring to. When he said, if any man is to follow me, was Jesus saying, if any man is to follow me, let him carry his painful relationship? Is that what Jesus was referring to? When he was saying, if any man is to follow me, let him carry his sickness, which I'm not going to remove because it's his cross. Many people have taken up sickness in their bodies and they have taken ownership and they say, my tuberculosis or my high blood pressure or my cancer, they take ownership of what they should not take ownership of. Why? They say, it's my cross. Because they have taken ownership of it, it has short-circuited their faith. They can no longer believe God for a healing. They can no longer believe God for a better job. They can no longer believe God for a healing in their marriage. Why? Because they say, well, it's my thorn. Okay? Like Paul said, that God gave me a thorn. And I asked he might remove it and says, my grace is sufficient for you. We have basically given right over certain things that do not belong in our lives because of religious lingo. We grew up hearing that. Our mamas used to say that. This is my cross. I'm just carrying it. I used to hear that from my mom. But that's not the picture that Jesus was painting. Now, I want you to understand something. As we observed and discovered on Friday, that the cross was a symbol of death. All right? The cross was a symbol of death, a type of death that strips one of self-dependence. That is what the cross is. It strips you of self-confidence. It strips you literally of self, where you say, it's no longer I that lives. That is what the cross does. It is a symbol of death. Now, Then Jesus comes and says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And this is the cross we're talking about, a symbol of death. Now, to take up your cross and to follow Jesus simply means a willingness to die to self in order to live for Jesus. It is a willingness to die to myself in order to follow Jesus. And again, the question is, what does it mean to die to self? And remember, I said, for us to walk in victory, there is a place in our lives that we need to walk with our cross. And the criterion to be a disciple of Jesus is the presence of a cross in your life. And I want to ask you a question. As a disciple of Jesus, are you carrying your cross? Is there a cross in your life? If our eyes would be opened right now, spiritual eyes, would we see a cross next to each one of us right now? You see, I want you to know that when we talk about our relationship with Jesus, the term Christian was not really the original term that referred to those who walked with Jesus. The term Christian was used as a derogatory name for those who were following the ways of Jesus, but the people who walked with Jesus were called disciples, not Christians. Now, I want you to look at your neighbor seriously and say, I am a disciple. And not just a Christian. Come on, I'll repeat that again and say, I am a disciple. And not just a Christian. I want you to do a test when you leave this church today and go and ask somebody, are you a disciple of Christ? They will not just say, yes, I am a disciple. But if you say, are you a Christian? Many people say, yes, I am a Christian. It is because we don't understand what Christianity is all about. The Bible says, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, not make Christians of all nations. We carry a title of being a Christian, but we're not really disciples. What does the word disciple mean? It speaks of a student who sits under a master to be taught the ways of the master. That is what a disciple is. So if I am to experience the finished works of Calvary, I've got to move from being a Christian to being a disciple. Because the moment you become a disciple, you submit yourself at the teaching and the feet of the master. A Christian can just continue doing their own thing, and the Christ can do his own thing. But a disciple, a student, will sit in the class and learn from the master. I don't know, are we disciples today or we are Christians? Now, this is my question to us. What is your understanding of being a disciple of Jesus? This morning, we're going to go to the ABCs of our walk with Jesus. What is your understanding of being a disciple of Jesus? A lot of people did not understand what it takes to be a disciple. In other words, there is a price to be paid for me to become a disciple. It looks like the price to be a Christian is less than the one of being a disciple. Because everyone in South Africa, when you go to the statistics, you find that 84% of South Africans are Christians. 84%. But the question is, how many of that 84% are practicing disciples? You see, you'd find that people are very comfortable with mixing their walk with God and other things that should not be found in their walk with God. And we're still comfortable to be called Christians. Hello, somebody? It's getting very quiet here. Now, unfortunately, we've been sold a very cheaper version of the gospel. Very cheap gospel. That is what has been sold to a lot of us. That is why we can be okay with being called a Christian and continue living in a certain way. There hasn't been a demand placed on us for there to be a total change the moment we say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. It is almost like walking the aisles and coming and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. That is what makes you a Christian. Anything else doesn't really matter. The gospel that says, Just come to Jesus just as you are. If there's any change that will happen in your life, it will happen over time. The gospel that says, as long as you make your prayers on a Sunday morning, you're okay. The gospel that says, Christianity is a heart matter. It doesn't matter what happens on the outside. As long as my heart is with Jesus, it is great. The gospel that says, all you need is a savior, not the Lord. You see, the moment you give your life to Jesus, he says, it's either I am Lord of all or Lord of none. That is why when you say, do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? We tend to prefer the Savior portion. Jesus, save me from my sins, save me from my pains. But I'm not really interested in you being Lord over my life and telling me what I should do and what I should not do. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about carrying our crosses. But when you look at the conversation of Jesus, whenever he would address a crowd, it was as if Jesus was not interested in people following him. Whenever Jesus would speak to the people following, the crowds that would follow him, it looks like Jesus was discouraging them from following him. He would look at them and he would say all sorts of difficult things. There was a place where Jesus said, if you are to be my disciple, you've got to drink my blood. You've got to eat my body. And a number of the disciples says, what manner of teaching is this? It is so hard. Who can withstand it? And a lot of the disciples left him. And then he looked at his apostles and said to them, are you going to follow them as well? But Peter said to Jesus, where shall we go? For in you are the words of life. Glory be to God. For in you are the words of life. So Jesus would speak to people almost to advise them, don't do this. If you are not prepared to be my disciple, don't get into this. He would kind of discourage people. But today what has happened, it's almost like we are interested in filling the pews. As a pastor, I would feel so great the day that we overflow here and we have three services, but at what price? That is the question. At what price? What are we prepared to compromise in order to get another person sitting on that chair? We are interested in, we are selling a very cheap gospel so that we can get as many people as possible. But the question is not so much about quantity, it's about the quality of discipleship. When you look at your own life today, can you say, I'm a disciple of Jesus? We're celebrating the resurrected king. But what has that done in our lives? I want us to look at a number of scriptures where Jesus was talking to people who had come to him and say, Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I want to be part of your entourage. I want to be part of your ministry, your crusade team, Lord. I want to come and just stand with you. Luke 9, verse 57. The Bible says, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. What a promise. Lord, I'm with you. I will support you. When you need somebody to carry stuff, I will be there. I will follow you. And this man was genuine in his heart. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests. But the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. I don't know what this man was expecting. You see, Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was the creator of the heavens and the earth. But he says to this man, I don't have that kind of, I don't have what you're looking for. If you're looking for me to provide you a house right now, I don't even have a house for myself. So what Jesus was saying to this man who was a candidate to be a disciple, he says, when you come and you're following me, don't think that it's all about comforts. Allow me to say to you this morning that God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. Hello, somebody. God is more interested in what comes out of the pressing. God is interested in what comes out of the fire. God is interested in what comes out of the pressure. That is why sometimes he will allow you to go through the pressing. Glory be to God. The Garden of Gethsemane was also called a place of pressing. It was a place where they would press the fig trees and they'll get the juice that comes out of the tree, out of the fruit. A place of pressing. How much pressing have you experienced? You see, our relationship with God is sometimes driven by what He does. As long as God gives me everything that I want, He's a great God. But the day that the tape gets closed, maybe it's a different God. But here He says, yeah, if you want to be my disciple, I want you to understand that I walk through the rain to go and preach the gospel. I want you to understand that I spend the whole night in prayer speaking to my Father. Are you prepared to do that? Or you just want to be comfortable in your home and not pray? I'm talking about carrying our own crosses. It says, if any man is to follow me, let him carry his own cross. And I believe this man was shocked. And what Jesus was saying here, it is not going to be easy. There will be times where it will rain in your life, but will you stick with me? Will you stick around when it's not easy? Oh, when it's not easy, we pull away. It's almost like God is like a sugar daddy to us. Hello, somebody. We go there when we want and we get stuff and we go away, you know? But Jesus was being very candid with this man. He says here, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. The comforts of our lives, sometimes the blessings of the Lord can easily become a curse, because the very blessing of God can keep us away from the very God of the blessing. Just think about that for a moment. I know of people who used to be very fired up for Jesus. And they were trusting God for a breakthrough and they got a job. And the moment they got a job, all of a sudden, they had no time for God who gave the job. Don't you know I have to be at work? God promotes me, I become an MD of my company. All of a sudden, the things of God have become so small because I'm an MD of a company somewhere. Foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has got no place to put his head. So that was one. I don't know if that fits. You know, if the shoe fits, let's wear it this morning. And then another one comes in verse 59. He said to another, come follow me. Come follow me. The man agreed. But he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. Just imagine me saying that to somebody. The church will be empty because they'll say all of a sudden, how can the pastor be so insensitive? This person has just lost his dad. Okay, there are a number of interpretations around that scripture. It's either this man had just lost his dad literally and he wanted to go and bury him, or according to the Jewish culture, when you say I want to go and bury my father, it meant I want to go and look after my father. He's of old age until he passes on. So you can interpret it either way, but the point remains that this man had his priorities crossed. He says, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first, I want you to see something very interesting here. He says here, the man agreed, but said, Lord, first let me. How do we put those two in the same sentence? He says, Lord, first me. Yes, you are Lord, but I come first. That's what he was saying. He's saying here, Lord, first let me return home. Yes, you are great and you are mighty, but there are better things for me to do right now. Hello, somebody? I'm talking about carrying our own cross. The man agreed, but he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. Do you think Jesus was being insensitive? No, he wasn't. Or he was bringing a principle that says, when it comes to the things of God, they have to take the first priority in our lives. When it comes to spending time in prayer, when it comes to spending time in the Word, when it comes to spending time in fellowship with brothers, that has to take our primary time. Do you know that sometimes we work and we give our all energy at work, and then we go home and we give our wives and our husbands the leftovers? We are so tired, we are fatigued, we can't even connect with our families. That is the same thing. Where we give our utmost best somewhere else, but in the things of God we say, that can wait for a moment. Let me push a little bit. I will not get to work late. No, that's not me. I will get to work between 7 and 7:30. Though I'm supposed to start at 8. That is my habit, and that is the habit of everybody who works. And a lot of us here, we would dare not get to work late, isn't it? You know that the boss will be on my case. You know that there will be chaos in that office. But when it comes to a Sunday morning, we can walk in leisurely. The church starts at 9:30, 9:40, that's okay, that's good enough. Hey, well, but you know, God knows my heart. I needed to sleep in a little bit. Why don't you sleep in on a Monday morning? Hello, somebody. Let's bring it home. Let's bring it home right now. That with our fathers, you know, we honor them. We respect them. We do everything for our fathers. When our Father in heaven calls for duty, we say, Father in heaven, just give me one more minute. I just want to finish up this soapy. Hello, somebody. Our priorities are a little bit crossed. And there Jesus was saying, let the dead bury the dead. But for you, go and preach the gospel. Go and preach the kingdom of God. I want you to know that the world in which we are, it is starved of the gospel. But a lot of Christians, we are comfortable in our places, carrying our cross. Let's look at verse 61. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first, let me say goodbye to my family. But first, let me just spend time in my house. But first, let me do what is of priority to me. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Is not fit for the kingdom of God. This is the gospel. This is the talk that Jesus was doing when he was walking on earth. And I believe God wants us to do the same in our churches today so that we can have well-rounded disciples who say, I will pay the price. You see, Jesus was saying, if you want to be my disciple, you need to live the way that I died. He was saying, I want you to live the way that I died. What is the way that he died? He sacrificed. How much are we prepared to sacrifice for the one who sacrificed for us? When we do like that, the Bible says we are partakers of his glory. We will share in his suffering and we will share in his glory. Paul says, I desire that I might know him. That was his desire. I desire that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. It wasn't just for the power of his resurrection. Paul was saying, I also want to suffer for Jesus. Do you know that the whole issue of persecution has become very abnormal in churches today? Very few people get to the point of being persecuted for Jesus. The reason why we don't face persecution, it is because we are not stepping in the way that Jesus said you should step. Jesus says, if they did this to your king, how much more to his servants? I'm talking about carrying our own cross. Hello, somebody. Now, a disciple of Jesus would need to watch a number of things. If you are to be a disciple of Jesus, if I'm to carry my own cross, a disciple of Jesus will have to watch his or her ways in order to avoid spiritual deception. A lot of the times we get deceived because we think we can just continue with our lives as if we are not saved, as if we are not born again. There is a deception that is kicked in the body of Christ to a point where there is no more difference between people who are not saved and people who are saved. The Bible says you shall know them by their fruits. What fruit is found on my tree when somebody comes into my life? When somebody listens to my conversations at work, are they able to say there's something different about this person? This person is a child of God. A disciple of Jesus will have to watch his or her ways in order to avoid spiritual deception. After Jesus preached a long message, the Sermon on the Mount, it was probably one of the longest messages. It covers about three to four chapters in Matthew. Now, towards the end of his teaching, he says this in Matthew 7:21. He says here, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" Let's talk about another dimension of Christianity. Our Lord could speak hard talk like that, and crowds could still come and follow. I believe when we preach a watered down gospel, it is no guarantee that people will come into the kingdom. It is when we present the unadulterated gospel that people will be able to be grounded in the faith, and they will face every tribulation with joy. Why? Because when they were taught the gospel, they were not told all will be great the moment you say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life." The Lord Jesus said, "In this world you shall have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Glory be to God. We need to tell people the truth when they say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life," for them to know exactly what they are getting into, so that when they go through issues, they will be able to reconcile their salvation and what they are going through. Jesus said, "Not everyone who calls me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom." And when I was preparing this message, it was so hard and heavy on my heart. And my question was, "Lord, how many people in our church are saying, 'Lord, Lord,' will not make it to heaven?" I had to search my own heart. And as a church, as a body of Christ, we need to search our hearts and say, "Am I just saying, 'Lord, Lord, Lord,' but I'm not actually saved?" It is possible. And he says here, "You have done great works in my name." It tells me something, that when miracles are done, it's either those miracles are done from divine power of God, or they're satanic in Jews. You know, the devil can also do miracles temporarily in order to just get you stuck in his ways. But Jesus here was saying, these people will say, "Lord, we cast out demons in your name." When you cast out a demon in the name of Jesus, it's not you who's doing it, it is Jesus. So you see, I can be so sinful out there and do all sorts of things, and I come here and I preach a storm, and you guys think this guy has it together. It's not so much about the guy, it's about the Jesus that this guy is talking about. Amen. Jesus will heal the sick, yes, for the sake of his name. Jesus will set free the bound for the glory of his Father. Not for my glory, not for your glory. That is why we cannot come here and say, "Can you just hear me? I'm a great teacher of the word." No, you're just a donkey that Jesus is sitting on. Amen. Yeah, you know the story of the donkey? Before Jesus walked into Jerusalem, where he told his disciples, "Go on that corner, you see a colt that has never been ridden, bring it to me, I want to ride on it." And on that day, the donkey was so surprised because everybody was celebrating. The donkey was walking on carpet, yeah, on this Persian carpet. And the donkey was like, is this me? Is this me? The donkey was surprised because never in his life he'd ever experienced people clapping for it. And then it forgot that it was because of the guy sitting on his back. And then when Jesus was done with it, the donkey went, and nobody was looking at the donkey anymore. And the donkey said, "Hey guys, can't you see it's me? Remember, I walked yesterday and you were celebrating." And the guys would say, you are now alone. It was not so much about you. It was about the one sitting on you. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we walk in the kingdom of God and God uses us for his glory, we need to be careful. The Bible says he will not share his glory with any other. So when we go out there and we do miracles and God uses us in a mighty way, we always need to remember that it's not about me, it's about Jesus, so that his name would be glorified. Hallelujah. Lord, we did miracles in your name. Yes, you did miracles in my name. It was my name, not your name. You see, the Bible says when we really get born again, we receive a new identity. We take on the name of Jesus, but it is still his name. Glory be to God. When we worship here and the power of God comes, let's remember to give back the glory where the glory is due. He says, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed miracles in your name. At least you acknowledge that it was his name. May the Lord help the church to understand that it's not about our names. It's about his name. But the issue here, Jesus was lamenting. He said, I'm looking at you right now, but I can see your hearts. Your hearts are not in the right place. And because of that, on that day, I'll say, get away from me, you breakers of God's laws. Now, this morning, I want you to realize that there are things that belong on the cross. And what are those things? There are things that belong to the cross. That is why you need to walk with your cross. Because the cross was an emblem of death. Something has to die on that cross. What is it? Jesus says, if you are to follow me, carry your cross. So that on that cross, something has to die on the cross. And what is on your cross right now? Is your cross empty? Now, I want you to know that access to the benefits of the cross of Jesus is through crucifixion of our self on the cross. And what is self? That carnal nature, the old nature that was there before Jesus came into your life and turned your life around. What has to be on that cross? You see, when I look at the Lord Jesus, when he was on that cross, he was so weak. When he was on that cross, things were very, very hard. You see, humanity kicked in and he lost strength. He lost control of everything. And that is what happens when we put certain things on the cross. Those things will lose control over our lives. Matthew 16:26 says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The cross of Jesus gave us access to forgiveness of sin, to healing, to restored relationships. Now for a moment, I want us to identify what should be on that cross. The cross that you and I are walking with. The cross that I'm walking with every single day. Jesus said, if you are to be my disciple, carry your own cross. Let's identify what needs to be on that cross. Number one. Anything that competes with the Lordship of Jesus has to be on that cross. What is it that competes with the Lordship of Jesus in your life? Is it your time? What is it? What is taking the place of Jesus in my life right now? It is for you, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister and speak to you right now and say, what is it that has been competing with the Lord Jesus for his time, for his lordship? What voice do I pay attention to? Well, these days with Facebook, these days with WhatsApp, there's so much advice on social media, and if we are not careful, we will run our lives based on what we read on social media. And the voice of the Lord becomes fainter and fainter and fainter over time. Anything that competes with the Lord Jesus has to go on the cross so that you and I can walk victoriously. Secondly, anything that makes you feel bigger than you really are. Just think about that for a moment. That thing that makes you feel valuable. The one thing that whenever you are in a conversation with somebody, you bring it up and say, you know, this is what I've achieved in my life. This is what I've done. You know, recently we're busy planning with my wife how we're going to expand our house. You know, that is what is on your lips. Anything that makes you feel bigger than you really are has to go on the cross. Because that is where pride is. And the Bible says, pride comes before a fall. When we esteem ourselves more than we should be. Pastors who are leading pastors need to be very careful when somebody come and say, so how's the church doing? Well, God has been good, man. We're hitting 90s now. But you walk in the church, you can't come and say, dude, show me where are the 90 people who've been coming to your church. It is because I want to show a picture of I'm a big guy. Things are really humming in my church. Hello, somebody. Do we exaggerate the truth? When we exaggerate the truth, it becomes a lie. Because in exaggeration, the intention is to deceive. The intention is to give people a certain perception of who you are. Projections. Thirdly, anything that seeks to satisfy your ego or self. Every time you feel this thing rising up in your heart and you say, I'm going to show them who I am. I'm going to tell them a piece of my mind in that meeting. I will not leave that meeting until they hear me out. Child of God, that thing belongs to the cross. It has to be nailed on the cross for us to walk free to become all that God has determined for us. Glory be to God. Anything that seeks to satisfy our ego. Number four, anything that seeks self-promotion on the expense of others. When we push ourselves to the expense of others, when we seek promotion by gossiping about other people, when we speak down on people's performance so that our boss can look at us, child of God, that thing belongs to the cross. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west. It comes from the Lord, the one who raises one man and brings down another. Yes. Glory be to God. That is why Jesus says, carry your cross. And we feel it. We sense it when it rises up. We have a moment of time to just say, this does not belong here. I put you there. You belong to the cross. The dead man has to be crucified on the cross. The Bible says we died with Christ on the cross. Our old self. And from time to time, our old self hounds us. Anything that seeks self-promotion on the expense of others. Anything that seeks self-justification. How many times do we want to justify our behavior, our action? We justify ourselves instead of owning up and say, you know what, I'm wrong, I'm sorry about this. Sometimes we say, I'm really sorry, but. The moment you put a but before the after the sorry, you have nullified the sorry. You might as well not say, I'm sorry. Yeah. Pastor, I'm really sorry I did not deliver, but. The moment you say but to me, I just shut out. You're not really sorry. Hello, somebody. Self-justification is a sign of a haughty heart that is not ready to be humble. It belongs to the cross. The last one. Anything that seeks to rationalize the word to fit your storyline. Rationalization of the word. Well, we're not really married, but we are kind of married halfway. It's either you are married or you are not married. Hello, somebody. We've been engaged for so long, go to the home affairs and get married properly. Hello, somebody. We rationalize the word to fit our storyline. What is the primary authority in my life? What is the primary authority in your house? Who is in charge in your bedroom right now as a husband, as a wife? You see, we are there telling our wives, don't you know that I'm the head of this family? You must submit. No. You need to read the entirety of the scriptures. Yes, there's a place where the Bible says, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. That's what it means. As unto the Lord, right? And there's another place where the Bible says, submit one to another. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Don't go and pick scriptures and sprinkle scriptures over your story so as to make it feel good. Hello, somebody. Rationalization of scripture has taken power from the scripture. And we wonder why we're not being changed when we come to church. We hear the word and we filter it. We do selective hearing. That, Pastor, sounds great. But that, no, another day. The Bible says, in the last days, they shall have itching ears. They will not be given to sound teaching. They will gather around teachers who teach them what they want to hear. Hello, somebody. Now, this is the process. This is the process of dying to self. This is the process of walking with the cross. So when you walk with the cross, it's a constant reminder that there are certain things that got to go on the cross. And when you say, I die to self, I die to self and be alive to Jesus. The call is tough, but the rewards are priceless. Glory be to God. When we walk with our cross and we constantly check and say, this has to go. Holy Spirit of God, help me to put this on the cross. I want you to know your life will take on a different shape. Now, is there anything wrong with asking God the Father and say, really, I want to do this, but what's in it for me? Sometimes we think it's not really cool to ask God that. It's selfish to do that. No, it's not. He's your Father. You know, our relationship with God is a father-daughter, father-son relationship where we are able to be candid in a loving manner and say, Daddy, I've been doing this, but what's in it for me? Yeah. Encourage me. Just show me what's in it for me. And Peter, we spoke about Peter on Friday. Now, the same Peter, he was very vocal. And he says here in verse chapter 19, verse 27, as we close down, Peter said to him, we have given up everything to follow you. And some of you are feeling that now. You're feeling the heat because we've put the heat now. You're feeling the heat. Like, if I'm going to live like that, Lord, what's in it for me? What will we get? Jesus replied, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses, brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or property. Can you see the list? For my sake, will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be least important then. And those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. So Jesus was not offended by Peter's question. He did not say, Peter, you are selfish. It's not always about what's in it for you. You know, Roosevelt says, don't ask what the country will do for you, but say, what will you do for the country? Okay? But here Jesus was saying, your question is legitimate, and I really wanted you to ask that so that I can show you the glory of the Father that will be revealed on this earth and in the world to come. And Jesus encouraged Peter, and he said, listen to me. No one who has forsaken these pleasures, no one who has forsaken these bodily pleasures for my sake will go without reaping 100-fold in this world and in the world to come. Glory be to God. The Bible says, don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season, there is a due season. There is a time for reaping. There is a time for sowing. There is a time for harvesting. Sometimes we sow and we don't expect a harvest. When you sow in righteousness, you need to expect a harvest in righteousness. Glory be to God. So Jesus was telling Peter, it's not for waste. There is something in it for you. I want us to stand on our feet.